Sorry.
Proceed.
The time is 9 a.m. on January 11, 2022, and I'm convening a video conference meeting of the Personnel Committee of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association. The meeting is being conducted pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act and the Association's antitrust policy. All information disclosed or discussed is to be used only for carrying out the business of the association. Proper notice of the meeting was filed on December 30th, 2021, and published in the Texas Registry in accordance with the Texas Open Meetings Act. A copy of this notice should be attached to the summary of the official meetings of this meeting. A quorum is achieved as both members of the Personnel Committee are in attendance. Also in attendance are Board Counsel Shelby Betts, General Counsel Jackie Rickson, Executive Director Bart Bowles, Association Employees Jarrett Terry and Toppy Haggerty, and the Texas Department of Insurance representatives include Patty Otto and John Peters. So the agenda is posted on your screen. The first item, one, is consideration of possible action on consent agenda items, summary of the official minutes of the July 26, 2021 meeting. Has everyone had an opportunity to read the minutes?
Yes.
Are there any changes or corrections to the minutes?
No.
Okay. Those are shown on page one and two through five. Following is a draft resolution to be approved the consent agenda. It's on your screen. Resolved that the Personnel Committee of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association approves a written summary of the official minutes of the July 26, 2021 Personnel Committee.
So moved.
All right, it's been properly moved by Dave Summers. And with that, and I second, we will declare the consent agenda approved. So item number two, Bart, would you like to go over the recommendations to the compensation, benefits compensation for the 2022 operating budget year?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Huckabee. I'll point out just a couple of small things and then show a summary of how this differs from these items in the 2022 operating budget as compared to the 2021 operating budget. And there will be one item here that the committee, we had discussed briefly during your July 2021 meeting that you'd asked that we revisit in this meeting. And I'll get to that in just a moment. So let's just start, run through the non-salary benefits provided to the association's employees. On screen, you'll see a quick summary of the health insurance benefit plan. Through Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas. Nothing there changed. There was a slight change in the premium this year, but you've already gone through those changes in July. The dental insurance plan, that's through Lincoln Financial. Nothing has changed there. Long-term disability, also through Lincoln Financial, the same coverage. And then the last item through Lincoln Financial was the term life and accidental death and dismemberment insurance coverage. So those are really the insurance coverages provided to the association's employees. Then we can talk about the 401k retirement plan that the association provides to all employees. I won't run through the matching there, but for the existing employees, since there's only three of us, we are all, receive a substantial amount through 100% vesting, but this just shows where any employee would stand in the vesting percentage. And as a reminder, the contributions from the association for the first 6% of an employee's annual contribution to the plan, the association matches 50% of that. And that is after a non-discretionary 4% contribution from the association. So if an employee contributes 6% of their annual salary to the 401k plan, the association provides 7%. And then there is a 457b retirement plan that the association set up in 2018 for me. Excuse me just a moment. And we can talk about that later because there will be an item for you to discuss in executive session. And then the annual carryover of sick leave, vacation leave, and personal leave. A couple of changes were implemented in 2020 and 2021 by the personnel committee, or recommended by the personnel committee, adopted by the board. First, there is no carryover limitation on sick leave. That can be accumulated as much as an employee can. And then on the vacation leave, normally in the employee handbook, there is a 40-hour carryover at calendar year end in 2020. And then again for 2021, the committee, in response to the COVID pandemic, did request and the board approved to increase that carryover to 80 hours of vacation leave. Okay, and that's only for year ends 2020 and 2021. And now in 2022, that will revert back to a 40-hour carryover unless subsequent date the committee and the board were to take another action. Personnel leave that's only 2 days per year does not carry over. This next item is the item that the board will need to discuss, the committee will need to discuss and decide if they have a recommendation to the board of directors. There are 11 paid holidays that are in the employee handbook and recognized by the association. Those are New Year's Day, MLK Junior Day, Good Friday, Memorial Day, Independence Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, Veterans Day, then 2 days at Thanksgiving and 2 days at Christmas for 11 paid holidays. In June of 2021, the Juneteenth National Independence Day was recognized as a federal holiday. And the committee discussed this quickly in July after I brought it to their attention. And the committee decided they would address that during this meeting and decide whether they would like to add this as a paid holiday for the association as an additional holiday or to replace an existing paid holiday. And then I am assuming the committee could also take no action on that holiday. But I will now step out of the way and let you discuss that.
A question. Do we know what TDI or any other associations board across the country, what actions they have taken regarding the Juneteenth holiday?
Let's ask Patty or John if you can tell us what action they've taken regarding that holiday.
I'm going to look it up. I don't have it right now, but I'll look that up for you.
I was trying to look it up too, as you asked. I'm pretty sure it's a paid holiday, but I'll look.
Okay. And I don't know what other entities like us have taken regarding this. Shelby, do you have any idea if TP SIGA is recognizing this?
They haven't taken action yet, Bart.
Okay, thank you, Shelby.
Bart, the June 19th Emancipation Day will require a skeleton crew at TDI.
Okay.
But also, I think it falls on a Sunday, right, Patty? So.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I think it falls on a Sunday.
The day might, but the recognized holiday for federal purposes would then push it to Monday, I believe.
Right.
But how would it impact our organization if we are closed that Monday? I know there will be no mail coming or going, on that particular day. Do you have a feel of any adverse impact we might have should we elect to recognize that as a holiday or add that as a holiday?
You know, for a lot of our activities, James, it's good that we can plan our activities so we can always work around holidays. Of course, no mail service and no banking. No banks will be open. But the one thing we have right now is we have a couple of small blocks of business that Topping and Jared are providing ongoing customer service to the policyholders. So there are a lot of calls that come in on those. Any calls that were to come in, they would just receive the recording. And so it would diminish a little of the customer service that we provide to policyholders from those two failed companies. And that would be the only impact.
David, any thoughts?
Yeah, I would think any of those calls people would understand if the recording said it was a holiday, it's federally recognized. If it doesn't impose a significant problem, I think we should recommend adding it.
I concur. The only thing we were unable to do, because the school calendars have to be approved and submitted to TEA, the one, you know, for school year 2022-23. So it will, our board took action, of course, we're a school district, to recognize it in 2023, because our calendar for this coming school year had already been submitted to TEA and published on our website. But I think it would be a good thing to have that day. And if someone, for whatever reason, needed to work, definitely we can compensate them with another personal day or whatever we needed to make that person be able to have the value of it. But I would think that being closed, I'm with David, that it would be just like, you know, this coming Monday, which is a federal holiday, which we're closed. So if it doesn't cause any undue hardship on the organization, I would be in favor of adding that as the 11th, as the 12th paid holiday.
Okay, so I could ask the committee to make a motion to recommend, and I did not prepare a sample resolution for this, but the committee could make a motion to recommend that the association recognize Juneteenth National Independence Day as its 12th paid holiday and add that to the employee handbook. And that day would be recognized on the date as is federally recognized.
Right. David?
Yeah, can I make that motion without repeating it?
No, you have to repeat it verbatim, stammer and everything.
So moved.
Would it be seconded by Huckabee, correct?
Yes, James, sir. I think James is frozen on us.
Let's give him just a second to come back.
That happened a second ago, and I'm not.
Now you're back. Well, your audio is back, but your video is still frozen, but feel free.
Okay.
So, James, did you want to second my motion?
Yes.
Thank you.
I don't know why I'm frozen.
Your audio is fine now.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, you're back.
So we're ready for number 9.
Yes, that parking is a little bit of a decrease from prior budgets because of the decreased cost in our current location. The health reimbursement arrangement, that has not changed. They will see a small change in the budget just because of the number of employees. And then the education expense reimbursement, this is a new policy adopted by the committee, recommended by the committee, adopted by the board. So just let you know, it is a benefit. I have not budgeted anything yet for it, but I'm anticipating that we will probably have some expenses there. But as a new item, I just could not anticipate what those expenses might be.
Okay.
So if I compare the budget amounts for 2021 and the assumptions in the budget for 2022, you can see for every item under the employee benefits, there is a decrease in budgeted amounts. And that's pretty simple. We only have three employees right now. We're anticipating we'll fill that fourth position, but that's a decrease from the five that we had in the budget for 2021. And then under the journal entry or accounts for salaries, payrolls, education and training, there are also decreases there. And that's also completely a result of the reduction in staffing. And that's all I have to report under this item, Mr. Chair.
Can you confirm, are all of the health and dental premiums paid by the association?
Yes.
There's no cost sharing, right?
No cost sharing on any of the premiums there.
Yes. And has that's been the case forever, has it not?
Yes, it has.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome.
So now, item three, consideration and possible action on filling the vacancy of a newly created staff position.
So just a little bit of background here, James. As you recall, when we did the salary study from Clifton Larson Allen in September of 2020, we did include the creation of a new position, which would be a combined position to take responsibilities of the admin assistant and the staff accountant and combine it into an office assistant that had some administrative functions, but also some basic accounting duties. So we were able to go ahead and develop the job description and the salary range for that position. We were in the process of implementing that position last May of 2021, but due to the COVID restrictions, and it was very difficult to come up with a way to identify an individual that could bring in on a temp to perm basis and to train them properly with the amount of remote working we were doing. So we postponed it. In looking at the volume of work that was conducted after the staffing changes last May, so throughout from June through year end 2021, it has become fairly evident that we need to move forward and fill that position. There's a volume of work with only three people doing it that position is warranted. So I've had some discussions with Topping and Jarrett, and we are going to move forward in this first quarter of 2022 to work with the temporary agency to try to identify a candidate that could come in on a temp to perm basis. And we would share time in the office with them, fully masked and following CDC guidelines, and train the individual and see if we couldn't fill that position. So it had been in a postponed status, and I'm just reporting that I'm going to move forward to fill that position in the first quarter.
Thank you. I guess we're up to number four. Consideration and possible action on annual performance evaluation of executive director.
James, there's a vast majority of that evaluation. If I can step in here, it's kind of self-serving to talk about my own evaluation, but there's some of this that should be mentioned in public session. And then when you get to executive session, you can have your deliberations and a lot of that without me present. But if I could just build a slight record here with the process, the methodology for my annual performance evaluation is spelled out in the executive employment deferred compensation contract. And then that evaluation is actually blank forms distributed by board counsel Shelby Betts. She did that in November 19th of 2021 this year to each director. And the directors then complete their evaluations, return them to Shelby. Shelby compiles an anonymous compilation. So any director's responses are not attributed to him or her, but they are all shown. And that was assembled and the compilation was distributed in advance of this meeting. You should all have seen that. It has not yet been distributed to the full board. It will after you finish your deliberations. But that is ready for, and I have that ready for you to view in executive session if you'd like. But I just wanted to go back through that is the process that is followed, and it's been completed this year, and it's ready for you to address.
Thank you. I don't have any other comments in general session regarding that, but the process, I can say it works extremely well. And it is a good tool. And from looking at it, and Shelby, thank you for the fine job of taking our comments and our story and summarizing that and forwarding to us. So thank you for your work on that. Well, so, go ahead. Was someone making a comment?
No, I just said thank you.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Great.
I seem like I'm frozen. I'm a second behind. So are we ready? Item number five, consideration possible action on various elements of the executive director deferred compensation contract for the executive director. Any other employment and activities engaged in by the executive director, the COLA adjustments for 2022. Future longevity, incentive payments, and the discretionary 457 contribution in 2022 is where we are. And is this comment here just for the general session here, Lauren?
Yeah, there are a few things to disclose, reporting items for the general session, and then there will be an item for you to also consider an executive session. So I'm trying to get all the reporting items done, and then you can take all your confidential items in one executive session.
Okay.
So first, there's an annual disclosure from me about any employment or other activities that I've engaged in and will be engaging in. I'll tell you, I have no other employment activities. Last year, there was a small item that came up that I did pursue on a contractual basis, but that did not come to fruition. And I'm not exploring anything further. Actually, that one I had not pursued. I was asked to provide that. So it was to help out someone that I knew in the system. But I'm not pursuing anything additional on employment. I will disclose that I have a couple of additional duties that I've accepted that are non-compensated. I've been asked to serve on NOLGA's MPC Executive Committee. Again, I think this is my third or fourth round on the MPC Executive Committee. And then I was elected to AIR's Board of Directors again. I've been on the Board of Directors of AIR a couple of times. I was president from 2013, 14, and 15 of AIR. But those are a little bit of commitment of time. Does not in any way impact my abilities to carry out the duties of executive director. Then on these elements of the executive employment deferred compensation contract, the cost of living adjustment per the contract, it's a very simple contractual matter. The only thing not simple is the Social Security Administration's cost of living adjustment for 2022 is a little more significant than prior years. In 2021, that COLA was only 1.3%. For 2022, the cost of living adjustment was 5.9%. I shared the Social Security Administration's October press release with James Huckabee. in November and advised him that I would be implementing this COLA increase to my base salary on January 1, and that has now been done. The longevity incentive payment, this is just a reporting item to let you know there is no incentive payment this year. The next incentive payment would be coming up in December of 2023, meaning the committee would be looking at compliance under the EEDC during its July 2023 meeting. So this is just a forewarning of when that will be coming. And then the final item under the EEDCC is the 457B payment. It does provide for an $18,500 payment into the 457B each January, but the committee and the board, so based on recommendation from the committee, the board may decide to increase that contribution from the $18,500 in any amount up to, but not to exceed, the annual maximum established by the Internal Revenue Service. So on 5.5 of your materials, I did give you their contribution limits disclosure for 2022. The 457B contribution, after being held constant for a couple of years, did increase for 2022 to $20,500. So the committee in executive session will need to discuss whether the contractual requirements to make the 2022 payment are have been met, and should that payment be continued at $18,500 or be increased. And so there's a resolution in your book on 5.6, but it wouldn't be appropriate to address that until after executive session. And Mr. Huckabee, that's all I had to report under this item.
Thank you, Boyd. And just for the record, for I know we have Patty and John on the line, but this contract on the 457B, it is tied to at least an average of 4 on the executive director evaluation. So it is tied contractually based on the performance by Boyd. And that's the only comment I have on that. Okay, now I'm ready for item 6.
Mr. Huckabee, item 6 is just my annual kind of forecast to tell the committee here's some training that I am planning for staff during 2022. I have a couple items going to add to this, but you can see the IAIR insolvency workshop coming up in February. Jarrett and I, well, I definitely will attend. I'm probably going to do that in person because I am presenting. Jared is considering attending virtually. I attend all the IAIR issues forums that are held monthly. I presented a couple of those last year. The ILTCI will have their annual conference on long-term care. It's a very large conference with probably 60 to 70 different panels available, and it's very helpful to the work we're doing a lot of long-term care administration and insolvencies right now. HIPAA update, I do work with our outside law firm for LTC RE to develop an annual HIPAA update training for all the members of the PACA working group. So that is a requirement. I do attend that each year, and it's amazing. Each year there's something new. It's continually evolving, HIPAA is. And then the NOGA legal seminar in July, Jarrett and I usually attend that as well as counsel. Usually both counsel, and it's a very good seminar. In addition, we're going to do some cybersecurity training. We have annual training that we do through NOLGA and their cyber liability carrier, and this is required to be done annually so we can have access to Quest, the NOLGA system that has some of our privileged information. I have dropped our Know Before email phishing and email scam training in favor of a Microsoft 365 Defender program that is offered through GCS. And so I work with our GCS trainer there to come up with the different modules that monthly they will choose from. But once they choose from it, I don't know anymore because I'm one of the people that goes through the training. So we've already implemented that It works pretty well. The other items I have planned or hope to plan for 2022, but have not yet implemented, and it's not on the list shown on screen. Periodically, the association engages with an outside firm or entity for harassment training. And I would like to do that again this year, but I'm withholding doing that until we have all positions filled. So if we can get the fourth position filled in the first quarter, we'll report back to you in July what I found out and what I'm recommending on doing that harassment training. In addition to that, I am a little concerned on some additional IT training. Specifically, I want to focus a little more on ransomware and topics like that. So we may do a little more security training. I'm part of the Security Advisory Committee of NOLGA, and we track a lot of that and so much more of it that we have seen. I think it would make sense to add some focus onto IT security this year. So I'm exploring some other training, and I'll report back in July.
Okay. Thank you very much. Item number seven, executive session. So is there anything in this section, board, that needs to be discussed or in the general session?
Nothing else in general session. I don't have anything. So if the committee is ready, I'll ask you to read through the language to exit that session, and Topping will tell you when she's ready for you the additional language to start executive session. And John and Patty, if it's okay with you, may I place you in a waiting room?
Fine with me.
Of course, that's fine.
Thank you. And I will bring you back when we're through.
Thank you.
The time is 9:32. On January 11, 2022, I'm recessing the regular session of the Personnel Committee meeting of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association in order for the committee to meet in executive session pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act.
We're now in public session.
Okay. The time is 9:10:41 on January 11, 2022. The executive session that is read there. Now, the executive session personnel committee of the Board of Directors of Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association included, and I'm reconvening a regular session pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act. All right, number eight, consideration and possible action on items discussed in executive session. Mrs. Sumner. Yes.
James, if you'll give me just a moment to flip back just a little bit.
All right.
If this is helpful, that is the draft resolution that you said you would take up after executive session.
Okay. Yes. I'd like to move that we present the resolution as shown here to the board, completing the last sentence with a dollar amount of $20,500.
Second. So with the motion made and second, it stands approved. All right, number nine, consideration of possible action regarding the committee's 2022 calendars and activities and next meeting date.
James, I need to point out something in this. I don't know why, but for some reason I am day of the week challenged. I do this routinely. I think it's because I do a lot of cut and pasting from prior materials, but July 12th is on the calendar activities as your next potential meeting date. And that is not a Monday.
No.
I believe that's a Tuesday.
Yes.
That date is open for myself. David, do you?
The 11th or 12th are fine.
Okay.
And James, you should acknowledge that on the 25th of January, one of the agenda items is to appoint the committees and chairs for the committees, or the membership of the committees and chairs for the next calendar year. And yes. The committee does have a vacancy right now, so you may have another member joining.
Okay. Any other notations or directions as far as the calendar is concerned?
I would point the committee to flip through the calendar excerpt that I provided in your materials. This is an excerpt of the master calendar and compilation for the association. And what I've put on here are just the items impacting the personnel committee. Yes. If you'll look at some of the things to be discussed at future meetings, if there are items that you'd like to add or tweak in those discussion items, it would be helpful for me to hear as I'm developing draft agendas.
Okay.
And I believe I've already been told of one item for July, so I have that noted.
Yes, sir. Very good. So that next item.
And that is it.
That was it. Is there any other business for the personnel committee to consider today? Yes. All right. If not, the time is 10:45 on January 11, 2022. And this meeting of the Personnel Committee of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association that has been held pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act is adjourned.